illuminating the grey pavement mottled with patches of dirty snow and slick black ice. Slushy puddles hug the curb, cringing away from the hissing, splashing car tyres. It takes all my concentration to keep my balance. My hands would be warmer if I jammed them into my coat pockets, but I need them free to steady myself on walls, fences, tree trunks, lampposts. I don't want to fall. And yet would it really be so terrible if I slipped on the ice? Wet jeans, a bruised bum. Not the end of the world. There are worse things. Far worse things. It's Sunday, the last exhale of the week. That uncomfortable pause before Monday when it all starts up again. This lonely pretense at life. Sunday has become a black dot on the horizon for me, growing larger each day. I'm relieved now it's almost over, and yet I'm already anticipating the next one. The day when I visit the cemetery and stand above their graves, staring at the grass and stone, talking to them both, wondering if they hear my inane chatter or if I'm simply talking into the empty wind. In burning sunlight, pouring rain, sub-zero temperatures or thick fog, I stand there, every week. I've never missed a Sunday yet. Sleet spatters my face, icy needles that make me blink and gasp. Finally, I turn off the high street into my narrow road, where it's more sheltered and the wind less violent. A rainbow assortment of overflowing bins lines my route, waiting for collection tomorrow at some ungodly pre-dawn hour. I turn my face away from the windows, where Christmas tree lights wink and blink, reminding me of happier Christmases. Before. Almost home. My little North London terraced house sits halfway along the road. Pushing open the rusted gate, I turn my face away from the neglected front garden, with its discarded sweet wrappers and crisp packets blown in from the street, now wedged among long tussocks of grass and overgrown bushes. I thrust my frozen fingers into my bag until they finally close around a jagged set of keys. I'm glad to be home, to get out of the cold. And yet my body sags when I open the door and step into the dark silence of the hall, feeling the hollow of their absence. At least it's warm in here. I shrug off my coat, kick off my boots, dump my bag on the hall table and switch on the light, avoiding my sad reflection in the hall mirror. A glass of wine would be welcome about now. I glance at my watch. Only 5:20. No, I'll be good, and make a hot chocolate instead. Strangely, the door to the kitchen is closed. This strikes me as odd, as I always leave it open. Perhaps a gust of wind slammed it shut when I came in. I trudge to the end of the hall and stop. Through a gap in the bottom of the door, I see that the light is on. Someone's in there. I catch my breath, feel the world slow down for a moment before it speeds back up. Could I have a burglar in my house? I cock my ear. A sound filters through. Humming. A child is humming a tune in my kitchen. But I don't have a child. Not anymore. Slowly, I pull down the handle and push the door, my body tensing. I hardly dare breathe. Here before me sits a little boy with dark hair, wearing pale blue jeans and a green cable knit jumper. A little boy aged about 5 or 6, perched on a chair at my kitchen counter, humming a familiar tune. Head down, he is intent on his drawing. Colouring pencils spread out around an A4 sheet of paper. A navy raincoat hangs neatly over the back of the chair. He looks up as I enter the room, his chocolate brown eyes wide. We stare at one another for a moment. "Are you my mummy?" the little boy asks. I bite my bottom lip, feel the ground shift. I grasp the countertop to steady myself. "Hello," I say, my heart suddenly swelling. "Hello. And who might you be?" "You know, I'm Harry," he replies. "Do you like my picture?" He holds the sheet out in front of him, showing me his drawing of a little boy and a woman standing next to a train. "It's not finished. I haven't had time to colour it in properly," he explains. "It's lovely, Harry. Is that you standing next to the train?"
"Yes," he nods. "It's you and me. I drew it for you because you're..."